I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Welcome to Crypt Rick's I've Been Thinking. What's this show all about? Well, it's all in the title. He enjoys interviewing people about issues that he finds interesting and which cause him to sit back and think. Cryptocurrency, true crime, natural law, the occult. No topic is off limits here. He has always enjoyed when people give their points of view or thoughts on different topics that they have researched. And what makes it all great is that it's their unique take on what is being discussed. For that reason alone, it makes it interesting to him. So take that walk down to his crypt. Make yourself comfortable. And just maybe, he will be discussing a topic that you have been thinking about. Here's your host, Crypt Rick.
Welcome, everybody. It is another Monday, and we are in the crypt for another great show. I want to thank everybody in chat who is listening and everyone else who's listening, actually. I appreciate every one of you that stop by and give me your thoughts and leave comments. It's an amazing. I love the interaction. I really do. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a safe weekend, and, you know, are having a kick-ass start of the week. I really hope you guys are. I always, like I tell you guys, look forward to Mondays. I think it's the start of a new week. New challenges, new things to learn. So I really, you know, a lot of people say they hate Mondays. I've been one of those weird people, I guess. I really enjoy Mondays. So I hope everyone that did is having a great Monday and going to have a great week, get a lot done. So just before I get my guest on, I like to always remind you guys that it is listener supported here at Revolution Radio. That means that your donations are greatly appreciated. It keeps everything up here running. All the content, many great content creators on here talking about really important topics. And I just think that anytime you can support freedom and freedom of speech, especially now, is such a great thing to support and very important at this time. I think that they're really trying to limit what topics people can talk about on the bigger platforms. And I just think any time you can support something that is allowing any topic really to be talked about openly, it's a great thing to support. You can do that if you're into cryptocurrency. They got you covered. Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and also Patreon. If you want to do it that way, you can donate a certain amount, pick an amount that you want to donate every month, and then basically it takes care of it for you. And that's also a great way. I always say, please check out the shop. Lots of great merchandise in there. There's host mugs. There's amazing t-shirts, some of them that I really do like. And I think that those are a great way to show your support. And maybe get people talking if they see you wearing it. You can kind of point them over to Revolution Radio here and let them know about all the great hosts on here and creators and the stuff that they cover. So just wanted to let people know. And thank you to everybody who is donating and who has donated. It is greatly appreciated, guys. Thank you so much. I just think that is more important now than ever to fight for freedom. And so that's my thoughts on that, as you guys well know. But enough of that. I just want to get that out of the way. I just want to go ahead and welcome my guest. I've had my guest on here a few months ago. We had a great conversation. We covered a lot of great topics. I'm hoping to do that again. So I'm very excited to welcome my guest from actually, I'm really excited to have my guest here. Sorry there. Okay, so I just want to go ahead and welcome Will Keller from Natural Freedom League.com. Will, are you there, my friend?
I sure am, brother. Thanks for having me back.
You're very – I'm excited, as you can tell. I always enjoy having you on and having these conversations. So I just want to let everybody know that they – so they can find all of your work. That is a great place to go, is naturalfreedomleague.com, Will.
That's correct. Naturalfreedomleague.com.
Perfect. Yep. Send. Make sure I put a link in the chat for you guys to check that out. And I'll let Will, at the end of the show, let you guys know all about what's going on with him and the work he's doing. He's doing a lot. So it'll be great. I'll save that for the end of the show, though. So what if, just to let everybody know, Will, before, maybe some people haven't heard of you. And can you let everybody, just give people an idea a little bit about yourself, what you're doing, where you've been, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, sure thing. I'm located in California, Northern California, and I am a freedom activist, an anarchist, and a public speaker. So my work focuses on the causal factors of what's going on in the world, the laws of nature, and conscious parenting. So those are the main categories that I focus on. And I do in-person public speaking, which I enjoy, and also have a video podcast we do live Saturday evenings. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. And just creating content, doing some conferences, and getting some videos out there with some great information to expand awareness.
That's so cool. So, yeah, just, as I was just saying, you do cover a lot of things. Like, you are doing a lot of stuff to help people get this information and to slowly take it in and wake them up. Mm-hmm. For sure. You're definitely busy, and I think that's incredible. I think more people need to do that. What do you think? Because I always tell people, I see a lot of people that are taking in this information. They're hungry for it. They're learning it. But they always seem to fall short of that last step of getting the information back out there. So I think that people have to maybe realize that, yeah, it's great to take this information in, learn about it, understand it, but then you got to go to that final step of getting the information out there to people in whatever way it works for the individual person.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, many years, about 8 years of just taking in all types of information and gathering my grammar and processing that to get a more accurate perception of what's going on in the world and how reality operates. And then at some point, you do have to act. You need mm-hmm. the rhetoric stage. And once you kind of have a correct diagnosis of what's going on currently in the world, the human condition, sitting back, staying silent, is you're contributing to the problem.
Right.
So once I kind of, discovered and had an understanding of what's going on, I had that moral obligation to speak out to the public about things that are going on.
Right. Exactly. And that's a good place to start. Like you were saying when you start to see what's going on in the world, and I would like to think that most people I talk to, and I do try, as I was telling you off air, I do try to get out and actually talk to people, at least in my neighborhood. And anytime I can, I try to get a feel for where people are at, because I think people fall into the risk of surrounding themselves with people who believe like-minded things and talk about the same things. And it kind of creates this echo chamber, I think, where everybody's kind of believing in the same thing in that. So I like to kind of step out of that and go just talk to people that might not know about natural law. They don't know about some of the topics that are covered. And so that way you can get a really honest feel of where people's heads are at. And as I was telling you, people, it's a different animal when you start going and talking to just everyday people and starting to get their thoughts on things. It's really different. And so I think that's great that you're saying what you're saying, that you got to get out there and start, putting that information out there. Now, what I wanted to ask you is the best way I can put it is, what is going on in this world right now? Because The more I talk to people, I see people being more dug in and divided, at least in the people I'm talking with. They're very set in their beliefs, they're set in their ways, and they don't really want to budge on a lot of it. And the people I talk to are kind of scattered all over. Like, it's not a cohesive thing going on. People are kind of have their own thing. They're kind of believe their own thoughts, and they're not really putting much thought into it. I just want to get your thoughts on, like, what is going on with people now in the world? Like, what do you see going on?
Well, I think the majority of people, they see reality and they see the events that are playing out, and they take the events as they come, meaning, oh, here's the new plandemic. And then they seek information on these events, alternative knowledge, alternative perspectives. But what we need to do is we need to get down to the causal factors. And this, this means diving into philosophy and understanding the nature of reality and how it operates. So everything in the physical manifestation of reality, right? This is the effects. It has manifested. So all the events that are playing out right now, they have already manifested and they're manifesting. We're seeing it in real time. But yet there is a cause why an event was started. So there's the underlining causal factor. This is the realm that people need to consider and dive into, and we need to focus on, because it's this is where the change lies. So it's a huge the two categories, philosophy and metaphysics. Not that many people talk about these two categories.
Right.
I think they both kind of have they're kind of an offshoot of like woo type of either new age or coffee shop convo or something like that. So it's and when people think about philosophy, they think about some of these really pithy names and these hardcore books to dive into, and it makes people's brain hurt, right? But philosophy is actually extremely simple, and it's an internal process, right, of working out these big questions, the nature of reality, what is going on. These are all questions that have to do with philosophy. And I think people need to dive into this, into these realms, because it's extremely important. Metaphysics means beyond physics. So if the physical realm is the manifested realm, the beyond the physical realm is the energetic,
right,
the realm of mind, of consciousness. And that is the causal realm. This is where all this is where everything manifests from. So we need to understand psychology, and this will point us in the right direction. For what? For the solution. Right. So people see a lot of these, the current events are, they're changing constantly. It seems like they're speeding up, and people get stuck at looking at these current events, and it kind of keeps them on a conveyor belt or a hamster wheel. And this is extremely draining. This will drain your life force energy, and it gets people kind of stagnant and stuck, depressed. But ultimately, we can't change anything from the level of effects, from the physical level. We need to change in mind and then energy. So we could probably dive into this a little bit deeper later on. But something to philosophy
very
and
true.
Metaphysics.
Right. And I don't think a lot of people really do take the time to even look into those topics, if we're being honest. I mean, how many people do I don't know a lot of people in my everyday life that are talking philosophy or anything like that. I mean, they're more worried about their day to day life, trying to pay the bills and stuff like that. So I think it's an area that you're saying that kind of gets neglected on people.
You know, people, when they think of philosophy, they think of these huge questions, when in reality, we can reduce it down to, why do you do the things that you do?
Good point.
That's a philosophical question. And, then you have that internal dialogue with yourself to try to figure out why you have certain behaviors or habits. And the cause is always in mind. Right. It's a mental attribute. So we need philosophy brings it down to principles and attributes, cause and effect.
Right. That's very true. And so I like the way you're talking about that, because I do talk a lot about what we're seeing manifesting, as you were saying, right now, in right at this moment in time, is already like I love the way that you're saying that this is from the cause of before. Like, we're just seeing it kind of what's manifesting now, but these are from our previous actions that happened in the past, and now we're seeing it manifest now. It's not us. It doesn't happen super quick. This is kind of like how it it takes form. I'm trying to put the right words to it, but you're much better at it than I am. But with the actions from the past are kind of manifesting now, and I try to tell people that if you're trying to attack it from now, it's kind of too late. You have to get, like you were saying, get back to the cause. And then that's kind of like you're not treating the symptom, you're getting to the root of the problem.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Trying to change the effects, it has already manifested. So you're absolutely right. We have to get down to the causal factor and, present moment awareness. This is extremely important because it does focus on the now. But what category are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the effect, which has already manifested, or are you focusing on the cause? Right. So, yeah, no, well said.
Most people are definitely looking at the effect. I don't think they look at the cause of it too much. They kind of just react to the effect that they're seeing before them.
Yeah.
That's what I see anyways. And I see people in this state. And as you were saying earlier, I definitely see people reacting to this state, this constant state of fear, which is kind of like what you were saying, that they keep this hamster wheel going around. And that's what I try to let people know, is that if you're looking at social media or you're kind of taking your information there, or they've always got the next fear thing lined up. Like, there's always, like, you know, you got COVID, then they got, you know, they'll have another one after that. Then you got monkeypox. They've always got the next chamber loaded with another dose of fear, keeping people in that hamster wheel of fear. And I tell people that's a very dangerous pattern to get into, because when you're in that state of fear, in that reactive state, which I think a lot of people are, they're reacting. There's not much conscious thinking going on. Like, you're not thinking clearly because you're in that fight or flight reaction mode. Does that sound accurate, or am I? I hope I am.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. When we look at a human being, right? What makes a human being human? What makes them separated from the animal kingdom? Well, we have higher. Well, a few things. We have a more intense human spirit, but mainly we have higher order thinking. It allows us to use critical thinking and art forms, etc. So, and that's in the frontal lobe, the neocortex.
Mm-hmm.
When people are in the fear state, it activates the fight or flight or freeze modalities of the brain, which is the reptilian, and also the mammalian as well. Mammalian is more, you know, emotions and basic needs as well. Right. So when someone's emotionally reactive, then they have a dominant mammalian part of the brain that is controlling the whole machine of the human body. So absolutely, that's why they have to speed up and keep these narratives going, to keep people scared. Because when people are scared and in a fear state, then they just react, because it's all about survival and they're easier to control. The narratives, the news, mainstream news, all these sources where people get their information, it's all about perception management. Because if you can control the availability of information that someone's taking in and holding in their mind, that dictates their behavior. So it's perception management for behavior control. This is why it's so important to understand that we have to get down to the causal factors via philosophy and metaphysics. Because that way, when we take the information in, we have a correct perception of what's going on, and then we can take the correct actions or behaviors.
Very true. And so, and most people that are listening to my show know, I'm very big on talking about shadow work. That's what I call it. It's working on myself, and I try to take time every day to just sit with myself, no distractions, and kind of really start digging deep, deep into myself and to learn about myself, which I think a lot of people with their busy schedules and life just in general, they don't seem to take the time or have the time to take that quiet time with yourself, which I know is important. It's definitely important to me, and it's made me aware of so many things when I do this, and I do it. I try to do it every day for sure. How important do you think that, like, you, to you, what you're saying is that's the start, correct? That is, you have to start connecting with yourself before you can go any further. That's what I let people know, is that that's, to me, the most important foundation, is to start working on yourself and being honest with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. The internal work must come first. It has to, because the first principle of natural law, or the laws of nature, is that the all is mind, meaning that the universe is a mental construct, and as above, so below, same with the human being. So we always have the thought first. It's all about our state of mind. That is the causal realm. So when you're talking about shadow work, yes, this is the process of looking at oneself and doing a self-synthesis and shining light onto the dark aspects of our psyche. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interesting enough, and the dark aspects would be resentment, trauma, insecurities, all these things that we bury down.
And we all have them. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, this is a lifelong process, right? Yep. But we have to kind of get up to par. So from our childhood, there's false axiomatic belief systems that have been instilled in us, and which state they operate in the shadow as well, right? And that actually comes out in behavior. So just because you have an aspect that's, you know, the skeleton's in the closet, that doesn't mean nothing's going to happen from that. That absolutely dictates your behavior. And in fact, since it's working from the subconscious level, you're not aware of it. So this is all about being aware, shining light, the conscious light, onto the dark aspects of your psyche and behavior, which synchronistically, it's the same process as the external work of trying to create freedom or end the current human condition of slavery. It's the same process. We are shining light onto the darkness, because all evil operates in darkness. And I'll say this real quick, because a lot of people, you know, evil kind of comes from a cultural religion, but evil does exist. Evil, if you flip it around backwards, it spells live. So what is evil? Evil is anything that restricts life or restricts freedom, your free will expression, your natural rights. This is evil. So same process, shadow work internally, and then as the collective, the aggregate, as a human species in its totality, we need to shine, do the shadow work of shining light onto the darkness. But we have to understand what the darkness is. That's where we get down to the causal factors.
Right. That's so, you're so right too. When you, I like the way that you're talking about the causal factors, because that's what people need to look at, the causal factors. And it's very true too. I tell people too, that if you're, there's stuff that we all deal with that we bury and push down and try to ignore, this trauma that you're talking about and these, you know, insecurities, believe me, we all got them. I know I do. And yeah. I definitely work through it. And if you're honest with yourself, we've all got them, and you're either trying to, you're either dealing with them, or you just keep pushing them down. And there's so many different ways you can, people do push that down. But I always try to tell people that even though you're squeezing that down and you're not consciously thinking about it, it's going to come to the surface eventually. It's just the way that things are. And I've noticed that in my life, that things that I pushed down in the past, they find their way up eventually. Yeah. And it's usually at the most inopportune time or something. So I think it's so important that you have to be honest with yourself and really start diving in. And I think, and I tell people, that the system is designed to keep people from doing this work on themselves. I think that that's why they have all the distractions out there, all the different entertainment. They have, you know, everything, government, religion, name it, you know, these distractions, movies, music, all of this. And then keeping people in this circle of working, trying just to keep a roof over their head, and, you know, just at work in their job, and where they kind of make it so people don't have this time to like sit and just, you know, spend an hour with themselves. And I think that's by design.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%. So the people do not recognize what is truly going on. Mm-hmm. And this is the hardest part. The hardest part is recognizing it. See, I think the majority of people don't, they don't understand, but yet they're willfully ignorant to it. they think that they don't have any problems or any issues, or they're not contributing to the problem, but yet they are. And this is what our work is trying to do. We're trying to we're way showers, trying to get people to take a step back, stop, drop, and think, and look at themselves and say, oh, wow, I didn't know this, and I am contributing to the violence, duress, and slavery that's going on. So maybe we can talk about next is what is going on right now.
That's what I was going to, yes.
The causal factors.
I was going to bring that up kind of with the whole, because I was having just a discussion today about the, as I was telling you off air, about the convoys and that, and the person I was talking with is very adamant that the convoys that we're seeing, that we saw going on and what's going on around the world, there is a lot of people doing things and making things aware and standing up in that. And we were kind of having the discussion, the person I was speaking with, I don't want to use their name or anything, but they were saying that this people are waking up very quickly now, and it's starting to happen. And I kind of said, no, I don't believe that. And that the protests may have woke a few people up, but it's not really going to change anything, these protests, because once again, we're not looking at the root cause of what's going on in the world with the governments and stuff like that. We're once again looking at, you know, what's actually manifesting now, which is it's too late at that point. So I just want your thoughts, along with what you were just saying that you'd like to discuss. Do you think that these convoys and that are waking people up as much as at least the people I talk to think it is?
Well, first, let's define what does it mean to be awakened? You know, okay. Is this awaking people up? Let's define this.
Okay.
Because using the philosophical modality of reduction, meaning that we reduce it down to its principle and attribute, right? So what's the most basic principles and attributes for a human being? It's our thoughts, emotions, and actions. Mm-hmm. So does a human being understand how the mind truly works? Do they understand emotions? Emotions are energy in motion. And do they understand basic behaviors and actions, which mean natural rights, which mean what you have the right, the behavior you have the right to perform or not. So a right or a wrongdoing. This is, and so those three categories, but in correspondence to reality. So you have the self and you have nature, the natural world. Mm-hmm. So this is what it means to be awake, knowing your mind and what's really going on down to the causal factor, meaning the cause of mind in yourself and in the aggregate of the world, how emotions play into the human body and how they can dictate behavior in the aggregate. And then your actions do you understand right from wrong? So this is what it means to be awake. And of course, natural law is incorporated in that, right? It's yep. They in correspondence, they're one and the same. So they absolutely, you have to understand the laws of manifestation and how reality works. So when people say like the Freedom Convoy is waking people up, I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Me too.
And in fact, the majority of human beings are not awake. They do not understand the difference between right and wrong. They do not understand the causal factors in mind, the psychology of human beings in the aggregate. And our situation is progressing downhill, and it is speeding up. Now, I will say this, that there is a greater awareness going on. I would definitely say
that's
that
a good word.
There is more people that are aware that something bad is going down,
right?
Right? Even with government, governments are being they're being corrupt even more. So, I mean, the whole COVID-19 pandemic, it's like the new 9/11,
yep.
Right? And the time period that we're in, there's, you know, the age of Aquarius, there's new intense energies coming in. Aquarius is the air sign. It has to do with networking and humanities and all of this. It's a mental attribute as well. So this has to do with consciousness. So we are feeling the senses are being heightened. So I think a lot of people with these, with the narratives and the dialectics that are going on right now, they're definitely, they're more aware that something is up. But this is what you and I, Rick, we were talking about earlier, is that we need to reach those people to get them to understand what the causal factors are of why all these narratives are going on.
They never ask that, do they? They never ask why.
The most important question, why? Yeah. And when you ask why, you're taking it down to the causal factors, which the causal factor is always in mind. The answer will always be in mind.
That's so true. That's so true.
And, you know, with the Freedom Convoy, I mean, this was already, you know, several months ago, right? Mm-hmm. We can see like what truly happened with that. Their whole message, it was ultimately a political one, right? They wanted government to stop doing certain actions. Well, that right there is, you're dealing with the effects, because, you know, government itself is part of the problem. And actually reducing that down, it's the belief system that people hold in their mind, thinking that government is legitimate and they have the right to violate, control, and delegate rights that they themselves don't have. So
it's very true.
But yeah. I will say this, because, you know, Natural Freedom League, my website, and my organization that my partner John Rowland and I started, we started by going out into the public and setting up a booth and holding signs and trying to interact with the public and have these face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversations. And we gained huge, huge information from physically interacting with people.
Right. Was it eye-opening for you like it was for me?
Oh, yeah.
When you start talking to people, like everyday people, they may not know natural law. They don't know about looking in the philosophy. It's been an eye-opener for me. It really has, like how people are all over. They're just scattered and very dug in on a lot of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And I learned a lot about myself, too, how to communicate and use the Socratic method and all of these tactics in communication for comprehension, right? That's ultimately what we want to do. I mean, we can communicate all day, but if the person listening or the person you're trying to communicate to, if they can't comprehend, right? Comprehension works both ways. Me as the speaker, do I have an accurate comprehension of the knowledge that I am delivering? And then the receiver, am I explaining it in a way where they can comprehend? So that's why my motto is simplify the profound. We need to reduce concepts down to its principle. That's why definitions are so important.
That's
right.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been a great experience. And this is why I still do public events and I do public speaking. I like to do both. And we can dive into this a little more when we get to solutions.
For sure.
So, but like the trucker convoy, these huge protests, these huge events, these people protesting, they're just begging the government for a little more slack, right? They're asking permission from the government for these false authorities, and no change will come from that. There is no, zero political solution whatsoever. Now, going to these events, and like my partner John and I, we would go to these big events and we would set up on the side, set up our booth, and then educate the people there, because there's a large amount of people. Mm-hmm. And some people might have a greater awareness. So I highly recommend people go to these events, and you know, first you got to have a good, correct moral message, and then, you know, promote your work or promote the message of true freedom and objective morality. But thinking that's the answer, it's not going to solve anything. It's just rearranging chairs on the deck of the Titanic.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to say to people, too. Like, it's not a voting problem. I've talked to a lot of people, and they're like, well, if we could just, you know, this this person in power, they're the reason that all of this is happening, and we have to, and I've even heard people that were at the convoy saying things like that, like, we have to get this person out and put this person in, and then they're gonna, it's gonna magically fix itself. And I keep trying to tell people that we can keep swapping out players in this game, and it's, we're gonna keep getting more of the same. That's just the way it goes. And I keep telling people that this is a consciousness war and a spiritual war that we're fighting right now. That's how this is going to change. It's going to be spiritually and by people waking up and being more conscious. And I truly do believe that. I think that voting is not going to get us any more than what we already got in the past. And so I think that that's very important, that what we're talking about, that people have to start doing the work spiritually and start looking into the topics that we're covering. I think that's the way out of it, is educating people and teaching them these things, not trying to just vote somebody else in.
Yeah, the social engineers, this is where they want people. They want people to be stuck in the dialectic, the political dialectic. A dialectic is having a couple main choices, right, for the illusion of choice and freedom. And this is where they want people to be stuck in, thinking that if we get the right person in office, there will be change and all of this stuff. And this comes from a lack of knowledge, of ignorance from what is really going on and how reality works, right? Yes. So absolutely, they want people stuck here in that dialectic.
Which is dangerous if they're in that, because I think that's such a dangerous position to be in, where they're just kind of like, you know, it's like almost wishing the problem away or just a quick fix. And, you know, well, we'll just get this person out, we'll put this person in. And I keep telling people that this hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to work. I don't know why they think it's going to work now, but I think it's just like you said, it's just, they get stuck in this wheel of like hoping and thinking that things are going to change. And it just, I wish people could see that it's so much greater than that, that this is going to take some work.
Well, this is why the philosophy and principles is important, because government is eternally immoral and wrong. There can never be a good government. The only legitimate government is self-governance, meaning that you control your own mind. But external government can never be moral. It can never be good, and no good will ever come from it. Why? That's because – now we're diving into the philosophy of it – is because you can't delegate rights that you don't have, meaning Rick and I can't get together and tell our neighborhood or a group of people, hey, we are in control of the group, and so you guys are going to pay us, and you have no choice about it, because we have armed friends that are going to come put you in a cage, shoot you, violate you, do whatever, right? So it's trying to be the arbiter of truth and rights.
That's a great way to put it.
We need to get it down to the causal realm, which is the realm of mind. So it's the belief. What is government? Government is the belief in human authority, meaning certain human beings have the right to issue commands that the rest of the human beings have to obey. And if they don't, they will be violated. So it's a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a religion, actually. This is what we're trying to get people to understand, bringing it back to the mental realm, that government is eternally immoral.
I'm just thinking, like, as you're saying that, Will, and I totally agree. I really do. But I'm just being real, and I'm thinking about how many people that I talk to really buy into government. Like this is such a huge battle. I mean, hill to climb. I just don't have the proper words, I guess, how to describe it. But it's such a big thing to try to educate people, because this is such a big thing that government's so embedded into everything, every aspect of people's lives. They got their fingers into it, if we're being honest, like in everything. You can't do anything now if you need a permit or the government's over your shoulder. And I just think to try to wake people up to this, this is such an enormous task, I think, to get people to understand that. And I'm just being real, like in real life, I just talk to people and they're like, okay, fine. you know, government slavery. I get it. But how in real life, how do we change that? And I know we're kind of getting into solutions, which I wanted to keep for the second hour. But I mean, let's let it go where it wants to go.
Well, let's kind of hover over this topic a little bit. Right. So, you know, the programming and conditioning of the belief in government. It is ingrained in us, into us, right?
Yes,
this is at an,
yes.
an epigenetic level, meaning it's ingrained into our DNA, right? Which we know through epigenetics that we are not slaves of our genes. In fact, our genetic expression is dictated by our conscious mind, mm-hmm. our conscious awareness. So, but the belief in government, yes, it, I mean, we're talking about thousands of years. There's been a control system,
right.
and not always, but for, you know, the history that we know of, there's always been, pharaohs, kingships or queenship, right? And the social engineers, which is really a tradition of a certain amount of humans, that are playing God on this planet. They want to go against and fight against natural law. They see the laws of nature as shackles, and they don't want to submit to that.
Right.
So they hold the key knowledge, the knowledge of the laws of nature, which ultimately are the law of manifestation. So and they hold the knowledge of mind, how human psychology works. So these are the two most important categories.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see where the aggregate of consciousness is going, and this is why they're social engineers. So during kingship era, where cultural religion was very strong, they can see that consciousness was starting to move in a different direction. So they knew that Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all these cultural religions were starting to lose their grip on the minds of many. So this is how they started to do a transformation into the new control, the new slavery system of government. So it went from ruler by one to now ruler by few, which now we have government. And now what we're going through during this time, we're seeing the new transformation, where now it's becoming the technocratic corporation control system.
Oh, for sure.
And
right?
You know, they're bringing AI into it, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. So these are just transitions, but still, I mean, this is why we need to get down to the causal factors. Is government legitimate? Absolutely not, right? Because you can't claim ownership over another human being,
right.
Which is the exact definition of slavery. So when I say this word slavery, people immediately have their own mental preconceived definition,
yep, for sure.
of it, right?
Yep.
Most people, when they hear slavery, they think of, well, if you're in the States, you think of the Civil War era, right? Whips and chains. But no, we're talking about the definition. What is the word slavery? The word slavery is as a claim of ownership. And this is exactly what government and its institutions are doing. You have to give us the fruits of your labor. You have to have a license to travel upon the earth. You have to have a license or a permit to build a house, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. You have to put this in your body. So that is a claim of ownership onto another, which is the definition of slavery. Now, every race on this planet has been physically enslaved, whips and chains. But we are quickly moving to that. Now, the social engineers don't want to take it to that all-out overt slavery of whips and chains. We're all chained together, kind of how we experienced in the Civil War era. They don't want to really go there because they know they have it even better. They
right.
have it better because they control the minds of the aggregate of humans. So we are actually consenting to what is going on. We are the ones that are creating, in the aggregate, we are creating the human condition of slavery, because we lack the knowledge of objective morality, rights, and how nature operates.
That's so true. And I know this is, we should maybe talked about this a little bit before, just because maybe some people listening, well, they don't even understand what we mean by the true, what's a true right, or what is natural law. Like maybe I should have brought that up at the beginning, kind of broke it down for people, because some people I've talked to, when you ask them to even give you a definition of a right, they can't give you they're scattered all over. Like a lot of people can't even give you the simple definition. And then when you start talking natural law, then I really get a variety of different things. It means different things to other, you know, to people. So maybe, like, to continue this, kind of just let people know, like, the definition of a right and natural law, like, sum that up so people can kind of understand where we're coming from.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what is a right? So first, we incarnate on this earth. I have a body. I control its usage. And I'm responsible for this body that I'm in. And while I'm in this body having my experience called life, right, I'm going to take actions and behaviors. Now, do those actions and behaviors, do they cause harm to other beings? So what is a right action or a right behavior? This is very basic, but yet key. A right is any action that does not cause harm to another. And so what is a wrongdoing? A wrongdoing is an action that does cause harm, right? So it's like, what makes rape rape? Well, the consent. I mean, no consent, consent, right? So there was the violation of a right. And this is where violence comes from. Violence comes from violation of a right, a natural right that we have. So and all we have to do is ask the question, you know, does government, do they restrict our free will expression, or do they restrict our natural rights? And absolutely they do.
Exactly. 100%. That's why I wanted you to explain. Yep. That's why I wanted you. I took it back just a little bit, guys, just to have them explain what a right is, because it ties right into help explaining why government is illegitimate. So that's why I wanted to bring up the whole right thing, so people can kind of understand why we're saying what we are about government.
Yep, exactly. And you don't need for government, for the control system to control a huge population. You don't need physical whips and chains. You don't need constant, you know, physical violence. You just need the threat of violence.
That's so true.
So our condition is a condition of duress and coercion, right? The threat of violence is always there. If you want to travel upon the earth, well, the threat of violence is there. If you get pulled over and you have a police officer, absolutely they're going to violate you. Yeah. So government is claiming that they have the right to control your natural rights.
Which so, is not possible under natural law. It goes against everything.
Absolutely. Like, it's always a wrongdoing. And this is why morality is objective, because I have a body. We all have a body, right? We exist in the 3D natural world, and we take behaviors. Now, does that behavior or action cause harm? It's either yes or no, right? There's no time or place or cultural religion or culture in general that can say, oh, well, rape's not rape in this case, right? You can't do that. It's not relative. It's harm is always harm. There's no justification for it. So
and then what's scary is that
objective. The object is the individual. And if the behavior causes harm, then it is a wrongdoing.
And then what's crazy is the government will make up bills and pass laws and do all these things, and they try. It's almost their form of trying to make these wrongs right somehow, in their eyes. It's really twisted.
Yeah. the government says, oh, well, you know, we have the right to do what we do because of the Constitution. The people have given us
before, yep.
The people have given us this power and authority, which you can never do. You can't delegate rights that you don't have. I can't give my neighbor the right to violate someone else because I don't have the right to do that. Wow. So, and this is the problem, is that government is the belief in human authority. So it's completely illegitimate. And the only reason why it has any kind of power or control is because the majority of human beings on the planet believe it does.
Yep.
That's it. They believe that it has authority. They believe that it has the right to do what it does. So they support and they condone it. Now, government is not an entity, right? It's just human beings that form up what they call, quote unquote, the government. Mm-hmm. And the police and military are the strong arms of government. They're the enforcers. They are the causers as well, right? Because the president sitting in his White House says, oh, go drop bombs on this country. Well, who's going to actually do it? Not the president.
No, not him.
Right? He's the order giver. And of course, the military, whoever's flying the plane, goes and presses the button and drops the bomb on there. That person is responsible. So that's a little bit on natural rights. The most basic body of information to have, right? We exist in this reality. What do we understand right from wrong? That's it. It's so basic, but yet it is so misunderstood and so widely ignored. Most people will agree with what we just said, but have a problem when they apply it to the real world, to the natural world in the aggregate, where they go, yeah, I totally believe that you don't have the right to violate anyone in your neighborhood. Okay, well, what makes government any different? See, so then people have a problem with that. And but that's where the shadow work comes in, because it's so ingrained and conditioned in one's mind.
Right. And when I talk to people too, like when you start saying that order followers such as police, military, and people in government, that they're in a system that is illegitimate and wrong, and a lot of people get upset, Will, because I've talked to people and they're like, well, I know somebody that's a police officer. They're an amazing person. They do so much good and stuff. And then you hear about, and I'm sure you've heard that, same with military.
Mm-hmm.
And then in people in government, I've talked to people and they're like, my uncle's, works for the government. He's not an evil person. And
yeah,
I find it like, how do you kind of answer that one?
Sure. Absolutely. And I know, and I've known police officers in the past, and some of them were sweethearts. They were super nice people. But we're not talking about personality traits. We're talking about the actual principle that they have an immoral job. Because they are a police officer, it makes them immoral, because you can't violate other people. So people need to understand they're taking personality traits and mixing it in with actions and behaviors. Right.
Okay.
So they become a police officer, and they're not whispering sweet nothings into the public's ears. They're actually going out on the streets and they're violating people's rights. So it's, people want to put it together, and it's completely different.
And that would go same with military. The same answer for military and for government in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to reach these people, because we need to get them to understand that by supporting and condoning and being in that position, it's an immoral act. And they are at war with the people. They are attacking the people, and they're doing the bidding of the social engineers. We need to get them to realize that, so they can quit that position. And it's no secret that, especially military and even police officers, right? They have huge mental issues, PTSD coming back from wars. Mm-hmm. I know personally ex-military that fully regret being in the military, because they knew that they were just protecting opium poppy fields for big pharma. right? So they there's a whole agenda there that they're just being used as pawns and puppets. A lot of people, when you talk about a world without government, they get extremely fearful.
Oh, right? For sure. Yes.
The fear of freedom. Well, the police protect us from the bad guys, right? And this is where the deep shadow work comes into play, right? First of all, a cop, it's going to take a cop 10 to 15 minutes at least to show up to your house if your house is being robbed. You are responsible for yourself, right? So if someone's breaking into your home, what is going to protect you? A police officer that's going to take 15 minutes to come there, or you activating your natural right of self-defense? So people need to understand that as an individual, you have a responsibility. You have the responsibility of for your own actions and well-being as well. Now, the fear of true freedom, right, without government, this does not mean that human beings can't cooperate and work together, right, on a local level and help out our community and stuff. The majority of people in their day-to-day interactions, it's completely voluntary. This is what a moral society would look like. It would be voluntary interactions. Nobody's holding a gun to your head saying, you better go to the store and get me orange juice right now. No, you are going upon your own free will. And when you get to the store, guess what? There's other human beings there that are just working a job and consenting to bagging your groceries and helping out. It's just other human beings like the police and military that will pull you over, harass you, or government tax your fruits and labors and stuff like that. So other human beings are actually creating these issues that we see going on in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doctors as well. Doctors knowing that the genetic modification, the needlecraft vaccine is completely harmful, and they're still going along with it. Those individuals are directly responsible. So first, someone needs to get down to the philosophy, the principles. Is government legitimate? Is the belief in authority legitimate, moral or immoral? That's where we need to get people to understand. The internal work of keeping the ego in check is extremely hard for a lot of people because their mind starts racing. Oh my gosh, if we don't have government, it'll be chaos. People will be running around killing each other, which that's what the ego does.
Right, there we are. I can't believe the first hour is up. We got Will Keller on. We are covering a lot of great topics, guys. So we got a 5-minute break coming up. So please join us for the second hour. It'll be like 5 minutes. We're here with Will Keller, guys. Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio. The printing press for freedom. at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We'll never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everybody. We had a great little break there. We are back for hour two now with Mr. Will Keller. We are covering so many important topics, and I think like I said, important topics that people must start looking into. I think if we're to get ourselves out of the you know, what's going on in the world now, this mess, I just think that there's so much going on right now, and it's really important. And I like the way Will kind of says, breaking it down to, you know, let's break it right down to the most simplest form. And I think that's so important, the shadow work, starting to do it on your, you know, learn for yourself and work on yourself and then learn these things. And I just think it's important. So are you with me there, Will?
I sure am, brother.
Thank you for joining me for the second hour. I mean, what a great first hour. We covered so many things, important things, I think, that are they're so key right now to what's going on. And I think the points that you're making are very true, that people have to start learning about objective morality and what a real right is. I think that that's the key, I think. I don't think, like as I was saying in the first hour, I don't think voting is going to do much. It never has. And I think that this is definitely an individual battle between each person, I think, like with themselves, kind of.
Absolutely. The individual, right? It's all about the individual, because the individual makes the aggregate. Right. Mm-hmm. You add all the individuals up and then you get the totality, you get the aggregate or the collective. So it's extremely important. And then, you know, to finish up kind of my whole rant and what we're talking about, we wanted to talk about natural law as well.
Yep.
So it's why is objective morality important? Why is this the cause, right? And this goes directly into natural law. So natural law is the term that I like to use. People say cosmic law, universal law, the laws of nature. So let's define natural. Natural means of or related to creation. So it's non-man-made. We're talking about the creator of the universe. And then law. The definition of law is immutable, unchanging, right? So it's not – when we look at man's law, how government implements laws, these change all the time. They change on a whim, right? You can look at prohibition. You can look at all kinds of things.
I think marijuana, the big one, you know, for so many years it was such like demonized, and now it's everywhere. and now it's okay, apparently.
Yep, exactly. So it's relative, right? Yep. Man's law, it's relative. It's dictated on time, place, location, and if the false authority say so, right? Crazy. So, I mean, I'm in California, so there's people locked up still in a cage for marijuana, and it's fully legal here. So it's crazy.
That's not
the correct definition of law. So when we look at natural law, these are the creator of the universe, the laws. These are the boundary conditions. These are the parameters that govern all of existence. So human beings didn't create them. This is God's law, however you want to use that word, the creator. This is its laws, right? Nature to me is God, source, creator, life force. So natural law, and this is getting – and many people understand the physical laws, gravitation, thermodynamics. You know, we understand these. Magnetism. Yeah, no, great one. So we learn about this, right? But not that many people talk about the metaphysical laws, which metaphysics, again, means beyond physical. So if the physical realm is the manifested realm or the realm of the effects as well, they're what supersedes that? It's energy and consciousness, right? One and the same, ultimately. So this is the beyond physics, beyond the physical, the metaphysical realm. And there's many principles, but why this is important with objective morality and why it's important for what's going on right now is because natural law is it's a creative, intelligent field. It rearranges and it gives us what we are giving it. So this is the true law of attraction or the law of manifestation. But it's not the New Age variant where it's decided upon your emotions, right? Oh, I just feel good. My intentions, it's all about my intentions. Intentions are meaningless when it comes to the external natural world. An intention is a mental marker for an individual. Like, I have the intention to clean my house later on, right? But it doesn't guarantee that I'm going to actually take the action and do it. So the laws of manifestation are based upon action.
That's key.
Behavior and action that you take in the natural world. Right, you actually perform the energy you are, and that's dictated. So your actions are dictated upon your thoughts and your emotions, because what you know in your mind, the available information, right? That's also going to make you feel a certain way, mm-hmm. and then you will act upon your thoughts and emotions. So we are creating this condition. The human condition is one of slavery. Humanity is enslaved. Because we do not understand what it means to be a moral human being. We don't understand what rights are and objective morality. And we don't understand natural law, meaning we don't understand how manifestation works. We as individuals do not create reality individually. We are co-creators. meaning that I influence my surroundings, and so does Rick, and so do all the other individuals, and there will be an cumulative outcome, which would be the manifested
whether
result.
It's good or whether it's good or bad. That's
absolutely
another, it could be like bad or it could be good. I think a lot of people think that, you know, evil always loses and good always wins and all of that, but I like the way that you're saying that it's in the aggregate, right? Like, so it's
yep,
it can go either way.
Absolutely. And we're living it, right? Mm-hmm. The current human condition, this is the manifested, this is the effect of what? Of the cause. The cause is that the majority of human beings have incorrect thinking. They have a belief system that causes harm. So we are getting, we are manifesting in the aggregate our current reality.
Wow.
So because people believe in human authority, they believe that government should exist and has the right to exist, and that other human beings can violate others,
right?
So the majority of people are condoning and supporting the actions that create this current human condition.
Very true. Very, very true. And I can understand why you're saying that the work has to be done on an individual basis, that people have to start learning about these things, because that's where the change is going to happen. And the more people that are learning this and implementing it and putting it into practice, naturally, like that's the way my mind kind of works, Will, is that if people, more people become, start living, you know, with objective morality, they live with under natural law, they know what their rights are. If enough people do that, government itself will dissipate on its own, because nobody will buy into that system.
Exactly.
That's why I try to explain to people, that's how you do the change. You want to get rid of government, you want to get rid of all of that and these people in authority, that's how you do it. I know a lot of people I've talked to, and I was telling you that there, a lot of people are like, I'm just waiting for the shit hit the fan and I'll take care of business. And I'm thinking, that's why we're in this mess. This is not the way to go about it. We have to do it the way I was saying, is by the more people that get educated on this and start implementing into their lives, these forms of slavery and control will naturally dissipate, because people will not either allow it or buy into it.
Correct. Action is required. So even people, you know, just playing to lose, right? They're just, waiting for the whole system to collapse.
I've heard that, yep.
And I got my bunker and I'm fully stocked and all that. Those people, unfortunately, even though I support preparedness, but not to that extreme, right? They're part of the problem. When I say action is required, that means getting involved and shining light upon the darkness and educating people, so people can have the self-realization of objective morality and how nature manifests, and change their behavior so they do not contribute to the problem.
Right.
So that's the thing. People always scream about, we want change, we want change, but yet they don't understand the requirements for the change. And it always, you can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created the problem. So it always goes back to your state of mind. If you believe in government, if you believe in human authority, your actions and behaviors are going to be immoral by what you condone and support. COVID-19 pandemic, the only reason why it went down is because the majority of people believed government and its institutions, or human beings, had the authority and the right to do what they did. So what did they do? They shut down their shops. They wore a mask. They put genetic modification in their bodies.
Yep.
They
social
gave
distance.
People social distance. They yep. gave people needlecraft, genetic modification vaccines. You know, people, other human beings shut down and violated people as well, their businesses and stuff, for not shutting down. So you see that the actions that people are taking have a direct result, the effect, and that's where we're at now.
Wow, it's so true. And I'm glad you brought up COVID-19, because that was the real I knew things were bad, but when I saw how quickly people bought into COVID, and I've said this on the show before, like that was pretty much what gave me that huge kick in the ass. I needed to start talking about these things is when I saw how quickly people bought the narrative and just ran with it, and with very little pushback at the start. And I realized like that's how powerful they've got people like under their thumb, like these social engineers. They really are good at what they do, because I saw it in real time. They shut the world down. That's scary that they could do that.
Yeah, and they're going to do it again and again and again until we learn the lesson, right? So
expect more is what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure, unfortunately, right? But we need to become – we are co-creators. We need to become conscious co-creators. So just like you said, Rick, earlier about the shadow work, right? Mm-hmm. The internal self-synthesis of recognizing our issues internally in our psyche, and we shining conscious light onto that so we can heal and remedy and then change. It's the same thing in the aggregate.
Very true. Wow. A lot of people are not going to want to hear that, Will. I tell you, people do not want to hear when you're telling them that they have to start working on themselves and changing and taking the necessary steps to become, you know, more aware and conscious. That a lot of people are not going to want to hear that. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, no. Some of the justifications or excuses that I hear are, what can I do? I'm just one person. What can I do? Or I don't have the time for that. Or, you know, I'm a full-time parent, and, you know, and all of these and some of these are valid in a way, but that still doesn't negate that there's violations happening. You know, the truth is truth, period. So even though someone has a hard time hearing this, it does not make it incorrect. It's not going to make it go away. That's the thing. So maybe when we get into solutions, we'll talk about some tactics.
That's what I wanted to dive into to you with for the second part, because that's cool. What definitely I think, because I have, like I said, I talk to people and I get into talking about government as slavery, and you know, people say, well, we live in a free country, and I'm like, I don't agree with that at all, because I always just tell people really simple things like you know, you need a license, at least where I live, to do anything. You want to go fishing, you want to go hunting, you need licenses and permits and for everything. Yep. You know, if you want to build a deck on your house, you need all these permits. You got to pay the government. So I don't understand how people think that they're free.
Correct.
It's crazy. And so I get into that debate with them. But a lot of people I talk with, they, when I say government is slavery, they just cannot, as you said, see a world without it. They think either it's going to fall into anarchy, I guess it's a legit scare if they don't understand things. Like their belief in government is so strong that they see it. That's the way they see it. Who's going to fix the roads? I hear that one. Who's going to educate the children?
Even that question, right? Yeah, exactly. It's like, who's going to fix the roads? Who do you think is going to fix the roads? The same people that fixed them now, human beings, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a lack of imagination, saying that human beings can't come together and solve a problem. We can't cooperate and create, right? So this is the domestication of humans. This is what the social engineers do. They want to clip the claws and spayed and neuter the human beings,
right?
Which, right,
they are.
So,
doing. Yes. Yeah, and that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's significant of the non-aggression principle and self-defense. They don't want people to understand the two principles of sovereignty. Non-aggression, number one, do no harm. Do not, you owe everyone one thing, do not violate another. The second principle is self-defense, meaning if you are aggressed upon, you have the right to defend yourself. Every being on this planet has a defense mechanism, some better than others, obviously. Even grass.
That's
has,
true,
has
actually.
Some way yep. to evade, to defend itself, whether it's grass, where it releases a scent in the air that makes someone itchy, or detours type of animal.
I never thought of grass that way. You just mean, okay.
If anyone goes up to any living being, right, like go up to a fish and try to hurt it, right? It's gonna swim away. It's gonna defend itself at some point. I mean, obviously we're humans, so we're at the top of the more to the top of the chain, right?
Right.
But every being has a defense mechanism, some form or fashion. So
the system's trying to take even that away from people, though, making them think that that's wrong to defend yourself.
Well, it's just like a narcissist. When someone's in a narcissistic relationship, they get the victim to believe that the person needs the narcissist. Right?
Very true.
So this is what government think. People think that we won't survive without government. So when they say it's going to be, oh, it's going to be chaos without government, I mean, that's completely that's a fantasy. I mean, that's a made up thing. Like, of course, human beings can cooperate and take care of ourselves. Absolutely. But we need to understand the basic principles of the natural world. Right. Mm-hmm. And we want it to go to anarchy. We want it to go to the true definition of anarchy, what anarchy really actually means in the natural world, not what institutions have erroneously told people and conditioned people. Anarchy means no rulers, no masters. And without Archon or Archos, rulers. That's what anarchy really means. It means no rulers whatsoever.
Yeah, and they got a totally different – people have a totally different definition than that when you talk to most people. Like the social engineers have done a great job in hijacking that word.
Correct.
And twisting it into something that it totally is not. A lot of people, when I break down what anarchy means, they're shocked in a way. And it's like, well, that's not what I thought it was. And I think that's the case with a lot of meanings. I think people just – they have to start digging. I love looking at into words and the meanings and breaking them down. I think that people should start doing that. They'd be surprised about the words they speak every day, and they really don't understand what they mean. So
yes,
it's just something I really enjoy doing. But no, so solutions, that's what I want to get to. So let's get into that. I want to try to leave on a positive note, because as I was saying, I've talked to many people and they most agree, okay, that government is a problem and that, but they can't see past, mm-hmm. as I was just saying, we kind of broke down. They can't see how to get rid of it, or they think that we need it. So what are some of the solutions that you have for people to start breaking away from the system? Like, what do you recommend? Like, I'll let you take this one.
Sounds good. Solutions, right? Let's put soul in there, because this is what it's about. It's about our souls. This is a war of souls. So obviously the first step is always knowledge, right? You have to invest the time and attention, which are the two real natural currencies of reality, and you have to educate yourself. And this is what it means to take in the knowledge of natural law, objective morality, natural rights, so you can have a correct and accurate perception of what's really going on. So it absolutely starts with the internal work. Now, slavery manifests because of mental slavery. So this is what the internal work is. You're freeing yourself mentally and emotionally of the shackles and chains of a false belief system. Freedom is a mindset, right? That's where it starts. It starts in the mind. So although coming into awareness and waking up to what is truly going on in the world can be devastating. And it can. I mean, it is, and it has to be, because of what we've been going through for hundreds and thousands of years. It's ingrained in our DNA. We are breaking it down. We are shedding. It's like a death, right? It's a death of a level of consciousness. So we can be reborn and wake up to nature, to the natural world, what is really going on in reality, not in a construct of mind, of a false mental construct like the belief in government.
Right.
So that is like the waking up process. So yeah, it can be brutal, and looking into the shadow work and applying this internal work into yourself so you can have unity consciousness, thoughts, emotions, and actions. Once you take in the information and you apply it to yourself, so that when you think and you feel, then your behavior has no contradiction, meaning that you are in harmony with morality. You are in harmony with nature and natural law. This also helps you influence your surroundings and influence the world to create change, right? So it always starts internally. Now, right. So what we need to do, the majority of people have a false religion, the belief in authority. So we need to – the only way we're going to counter that is by – and this has been stated by like Mark Passio, the law of freedom. It's very simple that as a society becomes – or as a society increases morality, so becomes more moral, becomes moral, then that society will become free. And if a society becomes immoral, then that society will become more enslaved. So we need to wake up minds. We need people to discover this information, this knowledge, and then apply it to themselves so they can change their behavior and actions. So the most important thing, obviously, is using the voice. What we're doing right now, we're speaking out. Right now, I mean, you look at social media, mainstream media, all these outlets of content coming out that are spewing lies and deceptions and distractions and misdirection. It's loud. It's super loud.
Constant.
So once we seek the truth and apply it to ourselves, we need to speak the truth. So that's why I said earlier, and you said as well, Rick, you know, once you come into awareness of what's going on and you apply it to yourself, you have the moral obligation to speak out to the tyranny, the violence, and the slavery that is going on right now. And we can do this while we still have the opportunity, of course, with the internet still up. We have time. There still is hope. We need to make the voice of truth and morality as loud as we can. So how do we do that? Going out into public is great. That's how I started, and I continue to do public engagements and speaking engagements. But yet, you know, I'm only going to reach a certain amount of people. My speaking engagements might have 30, 40, 50 people there to come hear me speak. And although that is great and I like doing that, I'm only reaching about 50 people at the most, right? Each engagement. So what platform do we have, or what modality do we have to reach thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people? We have the internet. Now, I used to be very anti-technology many years ago. I was one of those people that wanted to, you know, let the system crumble. I'm going to be in the woods with my homestead and doing my own thing.
I know people like that.
Absolutely. And I realized that was a very selfish state of mind. I mean, I'm all for if you're going to homestead and all that stuff. But what are you doing to contribute to ending human slavery on the planet? Running away and escaping is not the answer. That's just escapism. That's turning your back. Yep. So using the internet, becoming proficient with technology and creating content. So a tagline that I have is, we do not need leaders. We need artists. Leaders lead people. Yeah, no, for sure. Leaders lead people, right? They lead people on their path. Mentors is something totally different. A mentor, the definition of a mentor is like a stepping stone in mind, in consciousness. So you learn from them and then you move on. right?
Yep.
So mentors are all good, but leaders, following a leader is not where we want to go. That's very cultish. That's like the government and its institutions, right? They want to be the false leaders. And so we need artists. What is an artist? An artist is someone that expresses themselves, right? And they create in the physical reality.
Right.
Whether it's a painting, it's writing, it's doing videos, podcasts, dance, it's whatever. It's creative expression. This is what we need to do. Now, we need to also think about immortalizing the message of true freedom, natural law, and morality. And how do we do that? We do that by creating videos and putting them on the internet. Now, there's correct ways to do that and more efficient ways to do that. And this is how, like, Mark Passio has his class, How to Become the True Media, which is a prime example of the correct way to do it. If you create videos and you upload it to YouTube and that's the only place you have it, that is not immortalizing the message, right? The video that you created, it will be there for hundreds, thousands of years. I mean, as long as you can play a video, right? But yep. If it's on YouTube, YouTube can just delete your channel and it's gone unless you have it backed up. So understanding technology, how computers work, how the internet works, how to create your own website where it can, if you have multiple areas of streaming and you have your files backed up and you're not relying on these other companies like YouTube. I'm saying, you know, you can upload your videos to those for sure, but don't have that be the end all be all
right.
spot yes. for your content. We want to make sure that when we're putting a message out there in our content, we want it to stay up there. And even though if it goes down on one place, there's multiple paths to reach it. And then we promote our content. This is how we get the message of truth out there to hundreds and thousands of people. So we need artists. We need content creators with the message of true freedom. And what is freedom, by the way? We should define this. Freedom is unrestricted free will expression. That's what the definition is.
Okay.
So it's very important to have a correct message, right? I mean, people look at the High Wire or these other platforms, Alex Jones, for instance, and they go, oh, you know, that is, he's given me the truth, but is he really? He might be giving some good information, but what realm does it fall upon? The realm of effects or the realm of causation, where change can be created? That, so we have to be correct, right? Being correct means that it has a basis in truth, objective truth. And that's so our message is crucial. Someone can invest thousands of hours and hours talking about, you know, debunking the COVID-19 pandemic or whatever the next current event is, but still there no actual solution or change can come of that. Right.
That's so true. Well, when I think about it, how many people mm-hmm. spend their time watching shows that, yeah, they're talking about one thing endlessly and then talking and exposing it, but they're not getting to the root cause of the causal factor of it. Like you said, they're just watching the result of it. And then there's no change that's ever going to happen that way.
Exactly. Like I said, High Wire. So like Del Bigtree, even
yes.
though he's got some great information, but what's his core message? What are the principles that he's talking about? Well, I'm a vaccine abolitionist because I understand and I know the pharmaceutical companies are complete criminals, and allopathic medicine was created to implement a sick care system.
Yep.
To keep people sick.
100%.
It's not based upon healing in the natural world. So, you know, but does Del Bigtree, does he have a message of objective morality? You know, no, he's just saying, oh, we just got to get the right vaccines. You know, I mean, so we have
the
to understand
right ones.
Principles, first principles, and what do people stand for? Also, life is not a passive show.
You have to get involved. That's for sure.
Totally, 100%.
You can't sit by and watch. No.
100%. We have to get involved. We have to. If we say we want change, if we say we want freedom, then everyone that can hear my voice right now has to get involved. We need numbers. We need numbers for people speaking about the violation of natural rights. We need to speak about objective morality. Government is inherently immoral. So, you know, these are topics within the same category of, right, of true freedom. Yeah. We need people to become public figures. And this might be uncomfortable for a lot of people, right? This is where the internal work comes into play. We need to have thick skin. We need to have courage, which courage, true courage, is doing something in spite of fear.
Right.
There's a lot of personal characteristics that we need to overcome. And then knowledge, of course. You know, like I said, the knowledge of technology.
That's a big one, I think, for a lot of people. I know it was for me. And I guess for you, maybe in a way too, when you're saying that you didn't really want anything to do with technology kind of thing. And I know that was big for me. I just didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know anything about computers. I had a phone and that was about it. I knew how to work my phone a little bit, but as to work a computer or do anything like I'm doing now, no, you need to get to know technology and use it in the right way. I tell people that you can use technology for the wrong way, or you can use it as a weapon and in a good way to educate people, you know? So it's what you choose to do with the technology, but you have to learn it. That's key.
Correct.
And I'm glad I'm in Mark's class to learn it too.
It's a great class. I'm on my third year. I highly recommend anyone look into how to become the true media. Mark Passio's class, it's fantastic.
And he will teach you how to do it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
walk you through it, which is amazing. I'm only, like I said, I'm just starting the class, but I can already tell and I love it that he takes it right from the basics. So he takes you from, if you don't really know anything about a computer, and kind of builds your confidence and you're getting comfortable with your system and what you can do with it. So, and I think more people need to do that, because a lot of people I talk to, Will, and I'm sure maybe even you do, they know that they want to put their message out there, but they don't know how. They don't have a clue. They don't have a computer. They don't know anything about programming. They don't know about a podcast. They don't even know where to start. So I think that's key, like you're saying, that you have to learn how to do this.
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually working on a multiple video series. Well, it's two parts. The first one is the Seeker video series, where I dive into explaining natural law and objective truth and morality.
Very
and then
cool.
The second part is the Speaker. So the Seeker and the Speaker, right? Once we need to seek truth and then become the speaker. And I actually dive into kind of like a mini version of Mark's class, where I dive into some technology and tactics and stuff like that.
Very
so,
cool.
But
that's
going
to be powerful.
Right.
Very powerful. And just to give you a little pushback, because only on this topic of when we were saying that we have to take the time to start taking in this information and then putting it and implementing it in our lives. And the key is taking in this information. I run into a lot of people when I try to start talking to them and letting them know, like, maybe to start looking into certain presentations or certain books. I've heard a lot of people say they don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how am I supposed to do that? I got a family, I'm working nonstop, and then I'm trying, you know, all the regular things that you hear, just basic life. So what would you say to people that say that they don't have time? Because I hear that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think, and I hear that excuse a lot too. So depending on the individual, right? The individual says, oh, I don't have time for that. But yet they love baseball and football. And you know, when someone says, I don't have the time, what they're really saying is that I don't care.
Good point.
So it comes down to energy management. And now I'm a father, and I totally understand, you know, kids, it is. There's a lot of time and attention there and stuff like that. But this is another reason why we need more content creators to simplify the profound. You know, it's Mark Passio's podcast series, for instance, that's like 900 hours. I understand that's a lot of time,
right? Mm-hmm. But yet he has shorter presentations as well. There are other people, like on the One Great Work Network, that simplify this knowledge. Yet the but there's still it, the act and the care, right, to put in the time and attention. This is the thing that a lot of people have a hard time with. The fear of sacrifice. We're at war. Like, people need, you know, I had a friend that would say that all the time. I don't have the time for that. I don't have the time for that. And finally, he did. I convinced him to invest several hours. And this was before the whole COVID pandemic. And then when COVID kind of hit, it kind of started to wake him up a little bit. He had a greater awareness. And then he started investing more time into it. You need to have an accurate understanding of what's going on and how brutal and bad it is, to right. to be blunt. Mm-hmm. Right. So when someone says, I don't have the time, it really means that they don't have the care. And this is what we need. Care is that heart space, is that heart energy, right? But it's also it corresponds to mentalism, your mind, time and attention, what you focus on. So where your focus goes, right, attention flows. This is the same thing as manifestation. If we don't care, to look at ourselves and change our behavior, then slavery is going to continue and get worse. But by Very law, true. By the law yep. of manifestation.
It has to go that way. But yeah, that's exactly. the law. It's going to happen.
Especially people with kids. A huge part of my work is conscious parenting. Our children are going to have it tremendously worse than we can imagine. The enslavement of future generations is going to be just insane. So having a daughter motivates me more to do this work, and just love for children as well, right? It's like right. we need to create change as much as we can, so when we pass the torch down to the younger generations, they have some kind of head start, they have some kind of footing. So conscious parenting, understanding objective morality, natural lights, what's going on in the world, and teaching this and educating our children, extremely important.
Extremely.
Huge yes. part of it. That is part of the solution. If you have kids, then this is directed to you. You need to you have to have the care, take the time and attention to understand what is going on, and pull your kids out of public school. Become their freedom advocate. Understand that the social engineers are targeting children because the children are going to make the future society.
Right.
So it's all about programming and conditioning the youth. It's distract the older generation, program and condition the younger generation. This is called generational mind control or generational slavery.
And they're getting children into school younger and younger and younger, it seems, to get them into to start doing that, like get them at a younger age so they can really start working them over young and getting that. And then, you know, they're definitely breaking the family ties too, right? Like they're trying to break the parents, like they don't have a lot of time with their kids. I notice now if you got both family, you know, you got two, hopefully they got two family members in the house, they're both working, you know, they're trying to work full time to make ends meet, then how much time are they really getting to spend with their children? And when they're not even around that much, you might get it maybe a little bit in the morning or in the evening, but they're left to the being raised by the system, which
correct,
as you were saying, that they're that's what they want. They want that bond between a parent and a child severed.
Absolutely. They need to put the wedge in the family dynamic as soon as possible. Culture is the right arm of tyranny. They want to raise your kids, or not raise, because raising children means raising their consciousness, their level of awareness. They want to use culture to program and condition, to mind control.
Big
and
difference.
So absolutely they need to break that tie from children to mom and dad. So keep mom and dad working, keep them distracted, all of that, why they condition the youth, the for youth. Sure.
And that, and so true what you say about care. Do you care enough to make the changes in your life? And then what are you willing to sacrifice? I think care and sacrifice are such key words.
Yes.
They really are. I mean, like, okay, do you care enough to take in this information? Do you care enough about what's going on in the world to start bettering yourself and to make changes? And then what to do that, what are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice the series that you watch once a week, that 1 or 2 hours to watch a series to take in other information? Do you care enough to do that and make that sacrifice?
Yeah, and it even goes further than that. I mean, sacrifice is required. It's some level. It's different for each person. Someone that's a police officer, you have to be willing to quit your job. You have to sacrifice that because it is immoral. You're contributing to the problem. So you might have to go look and find some other line of work, right? And that might be a hardship. But yet, see, people don't want to do that because they're selfish, and they identify with the roles that they have. They want to stay in their bubble. As long as I have what I have, my family's taken care of, then I don't care about anyone else.
The hell with everyone else. Yep.
Exactly. And this is a service to self mentality. We need to be in service to the truth. That's what we need to be in service to.
Wow. Very powerful. That is so true.
So, and another thing that I want to say real quick.
Yes,
too,
go ahead.
And so, like we said earlier about, you know, there's not a great awakening, but there's a great awareness.
That's a really great line. That's perfect.
Yeah. Well, this kind of helps out. Because there's a great awareness, there are a lot of groups getting together. Telegram is a great platform for finding local groups where you can find jobs. There's usually agora markets, which are like, you know, trading services, mm-hmm. bartering, like-minded individuals getting together for emotional support, right? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I highly recommend getting in touch with your local communities. But yet a lot of these communities still, it all depends on their message and do they have an understanding of what's going on, an understanding of morality and rights. So, but still connecting with like-minded individuals, there's, you know, strength in numbers, community, unity and community. So it's really important. I highly recommend people do it. Since the pandemic, I've been in a support group, which is great. We're also creating a conference as well. So there's action that can be created by participating in these groups. And, you know, becoming a content creator, who's to say you can't link up with people? I mean, I have a partner in Natural Freedom League, right? It's two of us. And so we have like a partnership going. And, I mean, collaborating and stuff makes it a little more smoother and creative as well. I have my own individual work, but still people can link up in groups and partner up to create content.
I think that's really key too, is getting in, like meeting new people and kind of building your community. I think that's really important because it kind of, everybody starts to be able to help each other. And it just seems to, it just works good. It just really does. I've met so many amazing people over the last year that are all, you know, do in it for the right reasons. And they care, they want to see the change happen. And they're doing the effort, they're putting the time in to make it happen and try to make that change. And when you meet people like that, it's really a great feeling, I think, and a great thing to see that there is people that do care out there. And I think that's key. And I just love the way that you said that. I think people should ask that. What do you care about? What do you care about? And what are you willing to sacrifice to bring these changes that everybody says they want? But what are you willing to sacrifice to get them?
And this is what I'm about to say. This is where care comes in. And this can be the hardest part for people. Do you care enough to not comply? That's the big question. When there's lockdowns going on, are you shutting down your shops? So my point is that it's all about our action, right? This is how we're going to create change and manifest reality. We need full noncompliance. Are you funding the terrorist organization of government and its institutions and corporations? Are you paying taxes still, right? So that can vary for someone. It can vary their level of involvement. But right. action is required. You know, you have to do what you can. I am a independent contractor. I'm my own boss. I take cash, right? I take cryptocurrency. I do not pay taxes. So it's all about limiting your involvement in the problem as best as you can.
Makes sense. Yeah. Definitely makes sense, but that's going to be hard for a lot of people. Will, I'm just being honest. The people I talk to, I agree 1,000% with what you're saying. Believe me, you know I do. But this, I mean, I talk to people and they always bring it back to like, well, that, how do you do that in real life? Like, I can't just quit my job. I have a family. I have children. I have a wife. I have a house. I got payments. And yes, I work for, say they're a police officer. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. But, you know, how do I just quit that job and then risk all of that? And I guess what I would tell them and what I have told them is that maybe you don't want to quit your job instantly. You might want to kind of like, you know, try to line something up before you do that. But you have to be, you know what I'm saying? I just have a lot of people giving me pushback on that area.
The human spirit is one of the most powerful forces because we are an expression of the creator.
Agreed.
Right? So the human spirit is that divine spark within us. And when we activate, right, we can accomplish great things. Letting fear take over oneself is the stagnation, and it dimmens that the human spirit. So understanding that mighty forces come to aid to people that are courageous is important.
Yep.
Understanding the higher power of nature, natural law, and how it manifests, that it's a creative intelligence that is working with us, right? So, but like you said, that is hard for a lot of people.
Yep.
As far as communicating these topics, there's many tactics. I like to keep it simple. Even defining words and bringing it down to just rights. If you walk up to someone and try to engage in a conversation and go, oh, did you know government and slavery? That person's going to shut down.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like giggling because I've had it happen.
Absolutely. But if you engage that person and use something like the Socratic method where you ask them questions, you know, like, hey, do you have the right to take your neighbor's labor? To tax your neighbor? No. Well, then can I hire some friends to do that? No. And then you build up to where does government get the right? So
yep.
we have to build it up to people, right? Because people are they're in cognitive dissonance, and that calcification is thick. This is why creating content is so important. You don't want to send someone a video where you're just dropping the hardest bombs possible. You need to build up to information. Right. And this is all falls into the creative aspect of creating art. So
sure.
And then when you put art out and in reality, it becomes an artifact.
That's very true. Wow.
Yeah, art, heart, earth. It's all in there, man.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just thinking that's cool. But thank you so much, Will, for joining me for this show again. I was looking so forward to this. I always look forward to having our discussions because I think you really break it down to where people can really think about it, and you give them an easier solution, kind of like the way you bring it down simple, like you were saying, to an easier understanding. Like you're not just sledgehammering them with all this hard stuff. You know, bring it down to something that you can explain to people. Like an example that you gave was, I love that, you know, like you just ask about if it's right to take something from your neighbor and you build off of that. That works great, that one.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's like, no, you can't just take my stuff. Okay, well, can a group of people come and take your stuff? No, they can't. And then you just build it up and they have no choice but then to see your point.
That's the Socratic method, right? By asking questions, you're stimulating critical thinking. And someone can recognize, their own internal contradiction, right? They say, oh, yeah, government has the right. Well, where does the right come from?
Yeah.
You know, oh, the Constitution, the people granted those rights. Really? Did you send, did you agree to that? Did you sign a contract to that? You know, so it's all about understanding artificial and natural. Artificial yep. means fake. It means it's just of human's mind. I mean, we just created it. And then natural is of or related to creation. So.
Incredible. Right. And I'm just looking at the time here. We got about 3 minutes left. I want to give you the last 3 minutes. Will, let everybody know where they can find your work, what you have going on, anything you want people to know. The floor is yours, my friend.
Excellent. Appreciate it, Rick. I always love coming on and chatting with you. And thank you to all the viewers and the listeners. My main website is naturalfreedomleague.com. And I'm also a part of the One Great Work Network that was created by Mark Passio. That is a network. I think it's like 55 or 60 content creators that talk about all under the umbrella of objective morality and natural law. So highly recommend people go to check that out. And another good website is Freedom Under Natural Law. September 10th and 11th, me and my group, Natural Freedom Alliance, we're holding a conference all about freedom, unity, and solutions. And that is the Funnel to Convergence conference. So that's freedomundernaturallaw.com. Free to view the conference, go to the website, you can register. And we have a huge, awesome lineup on there. Andy Kaufman, David Whitehead, Rick is going to do a presentation. Mark Passio. So, I mean, Dana Martin, we have some fantastic guests. And then I'm also going to be a part of Shattering the Illusion conference, which is September 24th. That's an online conference as well. And you can go to shatteringtheillusion.info. And I appreciate everyone. I appreciate their time and attention. And definitely go to my website, naturalfreedomleague.com. You can send me a message. And I appreciate you, Rick.
Oh, I appreciate you too so much, Will. Thank you. And I will make sure I put links in the chat for everyone to all the sites that you just said, because I want to make sure that they can go and check it out. And I definitely recommend that people check out the One Great Work Network. There's so many amazing creators on there covering so many topics. I think it's an incredible place to go. And I met a lot of people like yourself and that through your funnel, the first funnel conference. Which there was an amazing presentations on there. So I really hope people will check out your site and check out the other links that I'm going to be putting in, because there's amazing content there. Will, you guys are doing amazing stuff, and I just hope people will care enough and take the time enough to start looking into it.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. Yeah, my presentation, The State of Freedom, is a good one for someone to start, and the Conscious Parenting presentations.
Yep, that was the first one I met through you, so I'll definitely make sure those links are there. Thank you so much, Will. We are at the end here. You're welcome back anytime, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Take care, guys, and everyone, have yourselves a great week. Stay safe, you know, help each other out, and definitely start looking into this information. It's super important if you want to see the change that everyone says they want. So have a great week, guys. Thank you for being here. Thanks again. Thank you, Will. I'll see you next week.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A.